I'm going to tell you something that's going to seem crazy. When you go through there, it's 1960. I need you to prevent the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Okay, so we are back here on this Big Screen Book Club side series devoted to 11/22/63. We took a couple of weeks off for various reasons. Mainly, the Big Screen Book Club studios were relocating, and now we are all settled and back, back up and running. So what we're going to do this episode is we're going to focus on episodes 3, 4, 5, and 6. So those episodes are Other Voices, Other Rooms, The Eyes of Texas, The Truth, and Happy Birthday, Lee Harvey Oswald. And like always, I am joined for this series by BJ Cramp.
He's a politician. His name is General Walker.
And Jeff Ferry.
Have you read any Karl Marx?
Okay, guys, so I know that this series has turned out a little differently than we expected, but we are committed to sort of powering through and continuing coverage of it. So like I said at the beginning here, we're going to be doing 4 episodes today, and then 2 weeks from now, we will do our series wrap-up where we cover 7 and 8. Now, BJ, I want to ask you, and we might have addressed this on a previous episode, but had you not been committed to this podcast, would you still be watching at this point?
Maybe, but it wouldn't be for any reason other than like watching a car wreck, you know?
Jeff Ferry.
I think I would. It's certainly not the best adaptation of a Stephen King story I've ever seen. But I mean, I got to be honest, it's far from the worst.
Yes.
Well.
So I'll say this. I fell a couple of weeks behind. I think I'd watched episode 3, you know, the day it came out. 4 I watched a couple days later. And then episodes 5 and 6 I actually didn't watch until earlier today when I was getting ready for this this recording. And one thing I was sitting thinking about while I was watching episode 6 was, at this point, the only reason I'm on board, aside from for the podcast, is to really see how they're going to wrap this sucker up. Because at this point, there is just so much that's gone on that's deviated from the book. I think the only thing we can really expect is that Kennedy's going to get assassinated. or at least somebody's going to attempt to assassinate Kennedy. So why don't
And it might be Bill.
Yeah, right? So let's jump into episode 3, Other Voices, Other Rooms. And this is the episode where Jake and Bill move to Fort Worth. Jake finds a job at the school in Ajodi, and he connects or reconnects with Sadie. And Jake and Bill start their surveillance of Lee Harvey Oswald, who has just arrived back in the States from Russia. So, Jeff Ferry, any overall feelings about this episode? I know you said that if Bill came to Texas, he wouldn't last very long. And as of the end of episode 6, he might be out of the picture, but he's still very much alive.
Yeah, I was certainly wrong on that one. Unfortunately, you guys were also wrong about this series ever course-correcting back to the book. it's funny because I asked my wife, because she's watching it as well, but she's never read the book. And I'm like, what do you think of the series? And she's like, it's not as good as I thought it would be. And I'm like, well, what bothers you about it? She's like, I don't like his friend that's with him. His whole storyline doesn't make any sense. I was like, I know it doesn't, because it's not in the book. They added it. And part of me understands why, because they were like, well, we can't just have this guy by himself. Yes, you could have. You could have had him by himself. It yeah. would have worked. You could have had him interact with. And in this particular episode, is like, this is when they're still kind of – they're still frenemies at this point. Like, he's kind of making him go along with him. And it's when he meets Sadie. And this is a very much a, like – this is like almost a setup episode. it's getting you from the first part of your story, which was the Dunnings, and moving you into the next part of the story, which is Jody. This probably would have been the hardest episode to get through, because I felt like nothing happened in it. They moved there, they started getting their surveillance stuff, and then, hey, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. BJ.
Well, is this the episode with the school dance, and it ends with Lee Harvey very publicly threatening General Walker's life? Is that the episode we're talking about?
I believe so, yeah.
Right, so... I mean, I understand suspending disbelief, but does that mean you have to suspend logic and common sense as well? I think the entire show seems like a first draft. That's what I keep thinking. Because there's all these moments that just don't make sense that, like, you would rewrite it and maybe fix it. I don't know. But I just remember there's forced drama that they keep doing, like when Jake has to leave the dance early. I don't understand why. For some reason, it's very important that he leaves and he goes and helps Bill right then. But he knows he's going to piss Sadie off when he does it. And then is that when he gets home and Bill is unconscious and the guy downstairs stole their recording equipment? Is that?
Yeah.
So there's this big dramatic moment when he comes in and Bill's lying on the floor. Then they just go downstairs and get the stuff back. And it's like, why does any of this happen? It's just like they want the big moment when Bill is on the floor. But then if you step back and look at it, it makes no sense. It's terrible writing to me. And you know, I think I talked earlier about how I hope every episode doesn't have to have a big cliffhanger. And so the end of this episode with Lee Harvey Oswald is just going insane in public, threatening the general's life, was just so ridiculous. I think I laughed out loud at that part. So there's just all these moments that are supposed to be dramatic, but they're more comedic than anything.
Yeah.
Because they don't really make sense or pay off.
Yeah, and we did get the introduction in this episode as well of, Deke and Miss Mimi, who are two major characters in the book. And I got to say, the casting, I'm not sure either one really nailed it in terms of the casting. But I will say that as the series has progressed, I've at least appreciated the work that Nick Searcy has done as Deke. And I remember him from the recently finished show Justified, where he played Raylan's boss, and I think he's a really talented actor, and it was a nice, familiar face to see. But my main problem with the series, even as we go into episode 3, and I think one of you might have made this analogy early on, but it seems to me like somebody is writing this series based on memories of a book that they read like 10 years earlier. And instead of picking it up and marking up the book and figuring out how you're going to adapt it, they're just trying to remember how the book went and making up plot points as they go. Jeff, do you have any thoughts on the casting of Ms. Mimi and Deke?
I think the two actors are doing the best they can with those roles. And I also feel that Deke is probably one of the closer people to the book. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have the same... He doesn't have the same beats, but his character is at least kind of in the same vein, where he kind of – you can't tell if he's just tolerating Jake or is he on his side, and you will find out eventually he's kind of got his back.
Yeah.
They took a turn with Miss Mimi, and they made her – they tried to, you know, do a couple different things with her. Obviously, they made her black instead of white.
Yeah.
And if that was like your big change, like you could really live with that. Mm-hmm. If that was the change you were going to go with. Like, I could accept that. I understand you got to change things. In the big scheme, that could be a minor change if you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But they kind of – like, she looks like she's going to be real important, and then she kind of disappears, and then they try to make her important again later.
Yes.
Like, you basically haven't seen her for two episodes, and then she just shows up and is just like, oh, I know what's going on. And you're like, what? I don't get this.
Yeah. Yeah. BJ, your thoughts on that casting?
Yeah, you're right. Deke is pretty good. Yeah, it seems like they decided that they wanted to address race – I guess, you know, considering the time period, they decided to use the Mimi character as a way to to sort of bring the racism of the time into it. It's sort of the same way that I guess that guy downstairs exists in the show because they were like, well, if Jake and Bill are going to be living together, you know, a lot of people are going to think something's going on there, even though I guess they've been telling people they're brothers, but I don't know. I guess they didn't because that they moved from that place to where Lehi Riaz is. That right?
I think so. Yeah.
Because weren't they implying that that guy was making fun of them and saying they were gay? So they weren't living as brothers at that point, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't am I right on that?
Jeff?
I can't remember. That was like 3-4 weeks ago. I remember.
Swear that guy downstairs, I think, didn't like them and was making comments. Maybe that's when they decided to say they were brothers. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess they're thinking about the time period and trying to make it more realistic by having elements like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why they changed Miss Mimi.
Yeah. All right, so let's look. Let's move on to episode 4, "The Eyes of Texas," and it starts with Oswald assembling his sniper rifle, and I guess practicing how long it will take him to put it together. And we also have a recreation of him taking the famous photograph of him holding up the newspaper in the backyard. This episode also sees Jake and Bill following George into a brothel, and there's a police raid. And then we also have Ms. Mimi revealing to Jake that she's found out that he's using a fake name. He has to create a cover story for her. And then we also get the introduction of Johnny Clayton, Sadie's abusive ex-husband. And the episode ends with Sadie discovering recordings of Oswald from Oswald's apartment in the basement of Jake's house. So that's our big cliffhanger that episode. BJ, any thoughts or feelings that you remember from this episode, "The Eyes of Texas"?
Well, I do. I like the guy. I forget his name. The guy that's playing Johnny Clayton.
Okay, T.R. Knight.
Yeah, he's certainly not at all what I imagined when I was reading the book for the character, but I do think he's doing a good job of playing the character that he created. I don't think he based his character on the book at all. Well, I mean, they've made the character much different in the show because, you know, he just kind of exists as this phantom until he actually shows up.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we've talked about, I know Jeff has talked about how Jake is a complete moron on this, on the show compared to the book. And this is a perfect example because in the book, Jake is constantly warning everybody that this Johnny Clayton guy's bad news. He has a bad feeling. Something's going to happen. Whereas in the show, he's completely clueless and he antagonizes the guy and just acts like a complete douche and basically causes the whole. It's basically his fault.
Yeah.
You know? So they've completely changed the dynamic of that. And it all comes back to Jake just being an idiot.
Anything else from the episode that stands out to you?
Sadie, I guess she just showed up at his house with a casserole, right? Is
yeah.
that, and she's just like knocking on the door. Oh, he's not home. She's going to come in. Now, did you guys see, didn't they have like a figure behind her?
Was it the yellow card man? Cause that's what I thought.
Is that what it was? Something drew her to go to the basement.
Yeah,
it was Jake, or Johnny Clayton, or I didn't know what was going on. But then they never addressed it after that. So
well, after the episode 6, where you see the yellow card man again at the hospital, I assume he's going to show up every time something's about to go sideways.
Okay,
that appears to be his role.
It was like you saw a figure in the background. I was assuming it was probably Johnny Clayton, and then it turned out to not come up again. But something makes her go down in the basement. And, of course, Jake, ever the genius, has just left his reel-to-reel tape on the player, just all ready to go for anybody to find. And I guess Sadie then decides that Jake has a fetish where he likes to listen to Russians have sex or something.
Yes. Jeff, any takeaways from this episode?
This was a real mixed bag episode. They, you see him take the picture with the sniper rifle, which in the book he mentions he doesn't see it. But I guess in a TV show, you gotta show it. I mean, it's one of the most famous parts of the whole thing is the picture. The whole brothel scene is just insanely stupid.
I hated
every second of it.
Yeah.
It's another scene of them just being like two bumbling idiots that get into a situation they can't get out of. The Miss Mimi thing was fine. It basically happens the same way. Like, she figures him out, then he's using a fake name to cover story. I agree with you. I liked Johnny Clayton the same way. He's not what he is in the book, but they make him – he's sort of menacing, but not physically. Like, he doesn't physically challenge you, but you can just tell he's got that weirdo thing to him where you're like, well, this person is strange. Like, he's setting off a strange vibe at you.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even talked about the clothes hanger.
Oh, they got the clothespin? Yeah.
The clothespin, yeah.
I guess that was the replacement of the broom in the book. He said they put the broom down between them. I guess that was a little more visceral to have the clothespin. And then, of course, even Sadie, they're making dumber in this, because in the book, she slowly figures out over time that something's up with him. Like, he uses phrases nobody uses. He sings songs nobody's heard of. In this, she just, oh, I just wander downstairs and look what I found. They basically dumbed it down to 1 second instead of giving her like maybe a whole episode to start piecing things together. But apparently that's just the way this show is going to run.
Yeah, and well, the other thing with the Sadie character and relationship overall is I don't feel that they've exploited that to its full potential at all. I mean, in the book, we really had a point where Jake says, screw the mission. This woman is my life. And I don't really get that vibe from this at all. And they definitely haven't really, had him flat out say that in this series, except for, I guess, next episode where he tells Bill he's on his own. But, like many things in this series, they haven't really sold some of the aspects that they should be selling. Any feelings on that, Jeff or BJ?
Well, they're taking up so much room with this new Bill character that isn't even in the book.
That might be the problem.
Yeah. There's major themes of the book that they just have completely ignored. The whole butterfly effect thing. Mm-hmm. On the show, they have just, I mean, it's off the rails. With the butterfly effect would be out of control at this point on the show, whereas in the book, he's so careful.
Affect things to party with Lee Harvey Oswald? You think maybe that might change the timeline?
They've just completely ignored that, where it's so specific in the book that he's so careful not to affect anything. And in the show, it's just, it's crazy. There's just no forethought. I love how the obdurate past sent spiders. that's like one of the biggest things the obdurate past has done so far, is sent some spiders when they were, whatever they were doing, crawling through the ceiling when Lee Harvey and Verita came in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get in episode six. The ending of episode six is really interesting to me, because it doesn't seem like that's going to have any kind of turnout like the book did. So let's move on to episode five, The Truth, which was actually directed by James Franco. And it's really focused around Jake and Bill trying to find out, or at that moment where they can know whether or not Oswald took a shot at General Walker. We have a really silly moment where Bill gets distracted with the image of his he thinks he sees his sister and chases after her, allowing the shot to be taken without anybody witnessing it. Jake isn't able to be there for surveillance because Johnny has called Jake while he's cleaning out an old apartment, I guess, to come to Sadie's house. And we have this whole sequence is completely different from the book, but it's kind of an interesting visual when he comes in and there's like a sheet over Sadie's head. I thought that was pretty effective. And let's see, Jake eventually, what Johnny was going to have Jake drink like acid or something?
Bleach.
Which he's able to throw in Johnny's face, and
no one saw that coming.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
and then hits him with a fireplace poker and then shoots him. And we've got the end of the episode where Jake reveals to Sadie that he's a time traveler. So this episode really felt like it had to get a lot done after sort of meandering through some previous episodes. BJ, any key takeaways?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's, to me, like I said, it seems like a first draft, and I think Bill's thinking he sees his sister is a perfect example. So they want to have him miss the moment, but they came up with a really lame way to have him miss it that doesn't really make any sense. But it's one of those things where I love how sometimes when you see the previously on thing, it telegraphs something that's going to happen. And yes. So on the previously on, they had something about Bill's sister. So then you know that that's going to come up on that episode.
That's
you know what
an I mean? Amazing point.
Yeah. But if for, I'm guessing Bill went to her funeral. I mean, he knows she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he think he sees her in that at that right then? At that moment, he thinks he sees his sister coming out of that church. Why is he even looking that closely at the people coming out of that church when he's supposed to be? I mean, there could have been much better ways, much better written ways to have him miss that.
Yeah.
And this is the episode where they end up in Lee Harvey Oswald's apartment and knock over the lamp. Is that right?
No, that'll be next.
That's the next one? All right. So what even happens in this episode besides the...
Most of this episode is the him going to Sadie's house and her being held hostage. That's
I was gonna say, you said that was really effective when she had the pillowcase or something over her head and it's all bloody, but it wasn't effective on Jake. He had no response, you know. It was like James Franco that hosted the Oscars for that scene, because you would have thought he would have been furious. And I saw like multiple moments where I'm like, you could take that gun from him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Jeff said, he's not physically intimidating. I mean, I think that Jake would have been so furious and he could have disarmed that guy so many times. I don't think it would have been that difficult. So I don't think that scene really worked at all, just because it didn't make sense. That's not how that person in that situation would have reacted. And then the whole idea of giving him a glass of bleach to throw in your face, it's just, you know, it could have been done so much better.
Yeah.
And you're right, like the pillowcase over her head was a nice effect. It was a kind of a chilling image, but then it just, they didn't handle it right, and it doesn't pay off. The scene just is poorly written, I guess.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that sequence in the book is so effective, and it plays out completely different in the book as well, because you have Deke involved. And right. In the book, doesn't Deke end up taking all the credit for saving her?
Yeah.
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 Well, I think they say he shows up later. Like, I think he shows up during the fight or something, but Deke takes most of the credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jeff, did you have any key points from this episode that you liked or disliked or want to talk about?
Well, just to piggyback on what BJ said, like, the thing with him seeing an illusion of a sister – it seems like you were in a writer's room and you threw out a bunch of things and they were like, well, we're just going to go with this.
Yeah.
You could have come up with in 2 minutes, like five other things. Like that church gets out right there. Somebody could have seen him in the woods and go, hey buddy, what are you doing? And now he's got to run off because he can't get caught there. He could have got sick. His car could have broke down. He could have, you know, had 20 other things happen better than, oh, I see an illusion of my sister who I know for a fact is dead. He could have just not seen him, which is how I thought they were going to play it, where he just didn't see what was going on.
Right.
But, yeah, as for the whole holding hostage situation, again, it made it about halfway. Great setup when he walks in. Didn't even mind the bleach thing, even though it was obviously telegraphed that someone was getting that thrown in their face. Because they played it pretty decently. Once he got it thrown in his face with him shooting into the room, like, that was okay.
Yeah.
But there's almost too much leading up to it. Like you said, too often he gets close to Jake. He's standing right next to him. Where any human with your girlfriend or wife in front of you with their face cut up, if somebody with the gun got that close to you, you would reach and go for the gun. There's just no way you wouldn't. See, if he would have kept the gun on Sadie or stayed away from him, that would have made more sense. But, I mean, sense is not what the show is about at this point.
Yeah, Jake just doesn't react. He just doesn't react to it. I was baffled by it. How do
you walk in, whether or not you even know the person, you walk in and they pull the sheet off and he's just like, oh, well, that's – like she had a like on her face. Also, it doesn't seem the cut is as devastating in this as it is in the book.
Oh, totally. And next episode, I remember there was the first scene where you see Sadie out of the hospital. And I was like, wow, so she's got no wound.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like follows her hairline.
Yeah, it's like such a convenient wound. Whereas in the book, I mean, like basically that whole side of her face sags.
Yeah. Right? And then just to cap off the episode, he just flat out tells her, I'm from the future. And she's like, ah, okay. What? Like, she basically has no evidence at this point, except that she thinks he's kind of a creep for listening to Russian porn. Like, in the book, she's had other giveaways about his speech and his whole thing being made up, and there's been some stuff leading up to it. So when he reveals it, not that she believes it right away, but at least she's halfway there. In this, it's just like, nah. It's like if you went home today and told someone in your family, hey, I'm from the future. They'd be like, that's nice. You need to talk to somebody.
Yeah. So let's move on to episode 6, Happy Birthday, Lee Harvey Oswald. And this episode has a lot of things that I want to sort of clarify and talk about. Well, it starts with, I guess, Jake listening to the recordings, or listening to, I guess, a live feed from Lee Harvey Oswald's apartment, and he hears that Bill is up there. So he goes up. And we have an altercation where we basically see that Bill has really just flipped to the Lee Oswald side of things. They've become friends, and he's become friendly with Marina as well. And he knocks over the lamp, and Lee discovers the bug. So right there, the jig is up, and I guess Jake's going to need a new way to spy on Lee. This episode, we've also got, I guess the main thing that happens is Deke asks for Jake's resignation, just because he's been involved with too much nonsense at this point, and he's broken the moral contract that he signed, and he says it's better to resign than to be fired, because then at least you'll be able to find a job. And then we have the episode ends with Jake making a phone call to Sadie where, and correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, he basically tells her that the would-be assassin is going to be Lee Harvey Oswald. Right, Jeff?
I don't remember. Does he say that? I mean, before he gets all busted up at
the
end?
Well, that's the thing I couldn't remember, is whether or not he tells her that, because then it ends with him getting beat up.
I thought he just said it's happening soon.
Yeah.
I didn't think he said what, because I think the same thing's probably going to happen here as what happened in the book, where he can't remember exactly what it is. I don't think he ever tells her the name. I don't think he ever says specifically when it's going to happen. I think he just said it's coming up soon.
Yeah.
Unless you guys remember something else.
No. And that was my biggest problem with this point is I had basically forgotten about this aspect of the book, much like Jake forgets things. But the episode ends with him getting beat up for I guess his betting history catches up with him. And Bill had gone around and made multiple bets multiple long shot bets at three different places, which causes an alarm to go off, and Jake pays the price for that. And also earlier in the episode, Jake has Bill committed, which I thought was the only real way that Jake could get rid of Bill short of killing him. But I really wasn't expecting the memory loss aspect to come into play. Just because at this point in the series, it seemed like too many people knew what was going on, that it wouldn't matter if Jake lost his memory. BJ, any key thoughts or takeaways from episode 6?
God, there's so many things that have happened here that I'm remembering now. Well, I kind of like the plot device of having Bill be in love with Marina.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I remember there was one scene where they were sitting out on the steps in the hallway talking, and Lee Harvey Oswald comes out, and you think, all right, he's going to kick Bill's ass, because, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald must be, like, a jealous guy, right? But instead, he doesn't even care. It's like he doesn't even notice that this guy was out in the hall flirting with his wife.
Yeah.
And I also thought, you know, there's a point where Bill is saying, just do it, just kill him. And I'm thinking, all right, that's kind of smart. He wants Lee out of the way so he can have Marina. But then all of a sudden he's best friends with Lee.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how they're best friends. So it's like when they have a good device, they just kind of blow it, or it just ends up not making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the whole scene. Well, of course, the lamp thing. I would think if the lamp falls on the floor that has your bug in it, you just pick it up and put it back on the table so Lee doesn't see it. But they just leave it laying there and stare at it until he walks across the room. And, you know, I mean, I was thinking in the book, if Lee had discovered the bug, Jake would have said, all right, I got to go reset and start over. You know, that would have been like the end of the world, right? And then when he goes and he's strangling George, whatever that guy's name is, DeMezzer, whatever.
Yeah,
the Morenschilds.
Yeah, when he's strangling him in the car to get the information out of him, it's like, you know, butterfly effect is that's just, it's not even that in the book, too.
He goes after him in the book.
Is that in the book?
Yeah, he goes after him in the book.
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
I can't remember what he does to him. I don't think
he threatens. He threatens his ability to close some kind of oil deal.
But and he gets in the car with him. He's got a gun on him. He says the same thing that I'm in the CIA.
Oh, I didn't even remember.
Do what I say, or I'm going to have your oil thing shut down. Never speak to Lee Harvey Oswald again. I mean, he's not quite as brutal as he's a little smarter in the book. He plays more the CIA thing. We can get to you more so than, you know, strangling a man in his car.
Right. Yeah. I forget what was the other thing I wanted to talk about. Well, you know, when Jake sees Lee showing Bill the gun and says the second shooter, that was probably maybe the worst moment on the entire show. For me, but I forget what else I was gonna say.
Yeah, well, in another portion of the episode I kind of glanced over was Sadie going in for surgery and Deke and Jake being there and seeing the yellow card man and Jake frantically trying to get to the surgery room because as it turns out there was an incorrect setting on her anesthesia, which I guess would have killed her.
Well, they said she wasn't getting any oxygen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, don't they just hold that mask over her face for a short period of time until she's unconscious?
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to hold it there until she suffocates? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, this has really reframed the yellow card man. You know, because in the book, there's really no indication aside from, you know, trying to verbally let the traveler know that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Whereas in here, they've shown that the yellow card man is actively responsible for a lot of the stuff that's going on.
Well, you know, in the book, Johnny Clayton is the big obdurate past mm-hmm. move.
Yeah.
But they've completely separated in the show. They've completely separated it from that and really... Johnny Clayton does what he does just because Jake pisses him off, you know? So.
Yeah. Jeff, what are your feelings on episode 6?
It might've been a good episode if like the whole Bill with Lee Harvey Oswald, they tried to have their cake and eat it too. It seemed like if he wanted to have the affair with Marina, wouldn't he want Lee to die? Or if he comes around to the fact of thinking maybe Lee didn't do it, then become friends with Lee. But he tried to have both. He was getting all pissy about the way he was treating Lee, but then he's also trying to sneak off with Marina.
Right.
I wish they would have just chosen one of those.
They had like, to choose one or the other. It's ridiculous.
You could have had him say, I'm going after Marina. I'll kill Lee. And then have Jake be like, no, we can't kill him. We don't know what's going on yet. And have that kind of thing. The first smart thing that Jake has done for 5 episodes or 6 episodes is he commits that moron. Because he actually – he did a good job of tricking him into that.
Yeah.
Like gets him there and then he uses all the information that guy could use to hurt him against him where he starts going, you're from the future. Yeah, well, you're never getting out now. You see, start saying stuff like that. He's going to kill the president. Yeah, that whatever, buddy. Here's your white room.
Yeah, at this point, do you think we're done with Bill?
Oh, God, I hope so. I hope so.
I'm going to make a prediction about Bill. Spoiler alert, but, I mean, you know what happens to Sadie at the end. I'm going to predict that's going to be Bill instead, who, like, comes around, realizes it, and, you know, tries to help. I don't think they're going to have that happen to Sadie.
That is a huge cop-out. That's a huge cop-out if they do that.
But, you know, this is one moment where I'd say the show is clever because it's so easy to get Bill committed because he knows Bill's going to immediately start saying, he's going to kill the president, he's from the future, you know? So it's kind of perfect. That's kind of perfect the way he starts screaming all this stuff that's true, but it makes him sound insane. So yeah, that was a pretty good scene.
It's the smartest thing that Jake's done.
Yeah.
He's been there for 3 years now. He finally made one smart move.
Yeah, it's almost out of character.
Except I'm not sure if that's how it works. It ever worked where you could just walk somebody into the hospital and they're going to commit them just because you said that you think they should be committed? I don't know.
Well, I guess there's
he says he's his brother.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's Texas and it's 1963, so.
Yeah, right.
And they said they will observe him, so I guess that is at least being committed for an observation period. And then
soon as he starts screaming about the future and the president and everything,
Yeah. So was there anything else, Jeff, on this episode?
No, and I mean, what happened is what I thought would happen when he gets beat up at the end. Like, I've been waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Although the whole betting thing has been rarely mentioned for at least, again, 3 or 4 episodes. Like, they threw it out there like once, like, hey, I'll leave you the book so you can keep betting.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he's been making bets all over town. You could have mentioned that once. Like, you knew that he had to go and make that one big bet for Sadie. But this guy made it out like, oh, I've been watching you. You've been making bets like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? We didn't hear anything about that. But I mean, it was like a plot point they had on a sheet of paper. Like, we have to get to this. And then they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the one part where I think when Deke is firing or to ask him to resign and he's like, I even got that Mike guy to act. You know, that's like 300 pages in the book. But he just throws it out in the office.
So disappointing. I almost thought that I had forgotten portions of an episode.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, that is episodes 2 through 6. And where we thought they'd really have a lot of room to work, you know, building the story, now we're rounding the corner and we have 2 more episodes. And then this series is going to wrap up. So at this point, BJ, do you have any theories on where we're going from here? I would almost think that with the title of Soldier Boy for episode 7, it's going to be a focus on Lee Harvey Oswald. But at the same time, we're going to have to get Jake dealing with his memory loss. So where do you see this going?
Well, luckily, Jake probably has, you know, well, he has that newspaper article, maybe, if he can find it. And I thought it was funny, too, that he carried the picture of Lee with the rifle back in time, you know, because they showed him looking at it at one point. It's like, why would you bring that with you? But, you know, who knows what he has? He could probably refresh his memory pretty quick with, well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, if we're looking at this from the point of view of an adaptation of the book, it's just completely off the rails. Like, just, I never even would have imagined they would have taken it this far removed from the book.
Agreed.
So who, who could even predict at all what's going to happen? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I guess Marina and Lee are going to be wondering what happened to Bill, maybe. And, I don't know where is it going to go? Because they got 2 episodes left. I couldn't even predict.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what's got me continuing to watch.
Yeah, right.
Jeff, any thoughts or theories?
I assume that all of episode 7 will be him trying to get his memory back and figure out what he's supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. They'll throw a bunch of other garbage in there about Lee or somebody. My real question is, so you got 7 and 8 left. At what point do you think he actually stops the assassination? Is it early in episode 8, halfway through, the last 10 minutes? Is there like a quick reset at the end? Like, how much time do you give for the reset?
Yeah.
for him to go back.
I guess it really determines on what they're going to do with this series. And we talked way back when about a possible cliffhanger could be him preventing it and then going to that new version of the present. And then they could leave it, you know, leave us all hanging for a year. Yeah, but I mean, if not, I think halfway through the episode, you have to have the assassination stopped.
You know,
you got to leave yourself some time at the end. Otherwise, it's going to be, if it's a quick 5-minute thing, it's going to be like a 5-minute reset, like the end of a Twilight Zone episode.
Mm-hmm. You know what would be the best? Is if at the very end of the episode, Jake resets before the assassination. And then they say, we'll be back next year and we'll do it all again.
Well, I was going to say, if I put try to put my brain into the universe of this show, I see JFK becoming a character on the show, like with dialogue and Jake interacting with him.
Oh, no.
I swear, that's what they would do at this. That's what I think they would do at this point on the show.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I hope I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
like after he saves them, he comes in. Ah, yeah, thank you all for saving me.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
So it'll definitely make for some interesting viewing and discussing. So we will be back in 2 weeks where we will wrap up the series with the discussion of episode 7, Soldier Boy, and episode 8, The Day in Question. And I want to thank you guys as always. BJ, once again, I want to take a moment to plug your excellent podcast, Rock and or Roll. And Jeff, I just want to let people know that they can find your book, The Dawn of Mars, at Amazon and other fine booksellers, correct?
Indeed.
All right. Excellent. Any final words, BJ?
No.
I guess not. All right. And Jeff?
Maybe it'll have a great ending.
Yeah, hey, we can hope, right?